This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
Authenticity Guarantee service allows every seller to ship not direct to the buyer for watches over $2,000 or more, but actually through a third-party independent watch expert or an authentication center. As a result, the watch will be checked, verified, not only for authenticity, but ensuring that it's actually being sold as described.
How has your business since then?
Really well. I sort of doubled my shop business with the eBay. And then obviously through the pandemic, it is just, I had to close my business on the 23rd of March, my bricks and mortar shop. But eBay flew to the point that some of the items, I haven't got the cards online and I've put all them on. And they've just done really, really well.
I'm Rebecca Michaels.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And this is episode 107. So Griff, what's going on?
Well, not a lot. I think we should mention the hurricanes that happened.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
As we always do, we want you to remain safe. We hope that you weren't too impacted, sellers in the Gulf Coast area where these came ashore. And if you were impacted, Rebecca, what should sellers keep in mind?
Know that we've got your back and you're protected. So be sure to reach out to customer support and let them know that you've been impacted and we can help protect you.
In the meantime, stay safe and take care. It's a terrible thing to go through, of course.
Absolutely. We're thinking about you.
Yes. Rebecca, we have some news to share, and it's timely news, so if you don't mind, here, read this.
Great. For those of you listening to this podcast on its release date of Tuesday, September 8th, 2020, we here at the podcast have an exclusive. Tomorrow, that's Wednesday, September 9th at 9 a.m. Pacific, eBay will release the Fall 2020 Seller Update. There's going to be lots of information in the update, and you won't want to miss it. So stay tuned to the eBay Seller News Announcement Board on the eBay community tomorrow morning for details.
Read like a true news pro, if I may say so myself. Now, I suspect that many sellers probably already know that a seller update was at hand since both Barney Levine and Harry Temkin, they kind of sort of teased it out a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they did. That means now it's official and you heard it here first.
Or last, if you're listening to this episode after Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, which of course could be the case since some of our dear subscribers do listen later in the week or the month.
We get it. We get it, Griff. You know, I should also mention that next week we'll have someone from the update team right here on the podcast to help answer the top questions from sellers this week. But in the meantime, we have an episode to start.
Let's begin. A few months ago, eBay announced it was moving into authentication services for specific individual categories. One of the first categories to provide this service is the luxury watch category. Joining us to share more details about this new service is eBay's General Manager of Luxury, Tarath Kamdar. Welcome, Tarath.
Oh, thank you for having me, James. Looking forward.
Tell us first, what is this new service? I believe it's called Authentic Guarantee. What is it?
The Authenticity Guarantee service allows every seller to ship not direct to the buyer for watches over $2,000 or more, but actually through a third-party independent watch expert or an authentication center that is not a seller on eBay. And they've been in the industry for decades, even doing repair services and services for the major watch brands. As a result, the watch will be checked, verified, not only for authenticity, but ensuring that it's actually being sold as described. Has it as the original box, the original papers, if it noted the original papers, and other materials and not collateral. And then it goes to the buyer with eBay Authenticity Guaranteed Card.
Why do we feel the need to launch such a service as this one?
So our buyers, one of the things as the markets evolve, want an authentic experience. When you're buying a $10,000 or $15,000 Rolex, as an example, you want to ensure that your money is going to be safe and you're actually going to get the real thing and all the materials and collaterals that were listed as described. And that is very, very important for the buyers. Same thing for the sellers. Sellers want to ensure that they're selling to a legitimate buyer and that they're also feeling safe during the process. And by having an independent third-party watch expert in the middle, that allows us to serve both sides effectively.
Okay, let me see if I understand how it works. Now, I have, let's say I have a very valuable rare Rolex that I want to sell on eBay. I'm expecting it to bring thousands of dollars. When I list this item as a seller, is there something that I have to specify, or does it automatically by value, is it put into the authentication workflow?
It's all automatic. If your watch is over $2,000 or more, and it's not heavily customized, of course, because we want it to be an authentic watch, then it will be put into the authenticity program automatically.
Okay, so I've got the watch up there. Now what happens? It's sold. A buyer has bought it for $4,000. I'm very happy. Whee!
That's exciting.
Who do I send it to?
Right. So you will get the shipping instructions to be sent to our authentication partner. You will ship it straight to the authentication partner. And then once it arrives, it's being opened up under cameras to ensure that it's being received as it was sent. And then it goes through the quick process. The process can take anywhere between 24 to 40 hours. Currently, we're turning around most watches, or if not all watches, less than 24 hours. That allows us to get the watch onwards to the buyer quickly as well.
Okay. And then hopefully it is authentic, which I believe it is. And then it goes on to the buyer, and the buyer gets it and he's happy with it. What happens next?
And when the buyer's happy with it, that's the exciting element, because you have this amazing out-of-the-box experience too. eBay's completely reinvented the way watches are being shipped. What I mean by that is you have this authenticity guarantee card with an eBay authenticity guarantee stamp showing your watch and that it's eBay double watch authenticator checked it. Secondly, if your watch did not have the original box, meaning the original Rolex box or the Omega box, guess what? eBay is now providing you a beautiful eBay watch box to use. And as a result, you'll actually get that great out-of-the-box experience opening it up in a watch box. And lastly, we're putting it in all an eBay branded box. So we want to really lift the customer experience, because the reason we're launching this program is to elevate our experience and bring the experience that is really, really needed for buyers out there in the high ASP category or high luxury category like watches. And same thing as sellers, protecting sellers so they can sell luxury items, in this case, watches, with confidence knowing that they're not going to be selling to like fraudulent buyers, because we're here to protect them.
I like it from the seller and buyer standpoint, especially if I'm buying a watch. It sounds like I'm going to be really reassured by this guarantee that what I got is authentic.
That's the exciting thing, like being reassured that you have a watch, you're getting it exactly as you saw it on eBay's website, on the item page, and here it is at your doorstep, and there's no issues, the same thing that you wanted. Also, we are following up with buyers after. We want to make sure that you're satisfied. We also have a dedicated customer service team now for watches to service the buyers as well that go through the post-sale authentication program.
What happens in a case where the buyer has received the watch, but they don't want it? They decide they want to return it. How does that work?
There's many times where you'll buy expensive watches and it may not be the style you wanted, or it may not have been the right fit on your wrist that you wanted. That happens, right? When you have your watch, one of the things we're putting on that, and this is to protect our sellers, is a security tag. A red color security tag that goes on the watch that if removed, and it actually says if removed, it cannot be returnable. Why? Because sellers don't want their watches to be worn for events or cocktail events and then suddenly returned, right?
AKA rented for the event.
Free renting, yes. By doing that, we absolutely want the buyer to try it on, absolutely want the buyer to see it and feel it if they just walk into a store and done the same thing. But if they aren't happy with it, great, return it. eBay will cover that return. The return actually does not go directly back to the seller from the buyer. It goes back to the authenticator. So we are intermediating the return. This is to protect the seller to ensure the same watch that was sent out is actually coming back. We do not want sellers to end up with things like rocks in the box, right?
Of course.
We want to be able to protect our sellers and also ensure that the watch hasn't been worn or damaged. And as we process that return, we quickly do the same double checks at the authenticator, checking the watch is coming back exactly as it was sent. And then we send that back to the seller.
And then and only then does the buyer get their refund.
That is correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
That is when the buyer gets a refund.
I can see the benefits for both buyers and sellers as well. My first question to the team would be, this sounds great. When are you going to move it to other categories so I can take advantage of it, say like in diamond jewelry or some other high-end luxury category? Handbags.
That's a great question. I mean, we're looking into evolving all customer experiences across all luxury categories, right? I mean, at the end of the day, really understanding, speaking to buyers, understanding, speaking to sellers, doing what's right by them is how we want to evolve the category. Authentication is the next thing that then we'll go for that. There's so many other things we're looking at to evolve the categories as well.
I assume that you have all these people that are going to be doing this service in order to ramp it up to other categories and eBay, it means staffing that end of the business up as well. And I guess you want to do that slowly to make sure it works well.
We want to do that right away. If you look at the watches business unit, we have a dedicated team, which is exciting, right? A dedicated team that's fully dedicated to this category. We're investing into this category, putting marketing dollars into this category and investments into improving the experiences heavily. eBay's not had that in the past. And this is very exciting because this allows us to now finally do what's right by the sellers, right by the buyers, to innovate for the future and keep thinking about the market, thinking about the industry, the sellers and buyers to keep doing that. And our plan is eventually, why not do something similar and have that dedicated approach in other categories as well. So definitely excited about the future.
Well, congratulations on putting this service together. I know it couldn't be easy. If sellers want to learn more about how it works, is there a place that we can send them?
Yeah, we have a seller landing page that you're going to see during the upcoming launches, and already it's live. We're sending sellers. There's a dedicated page on eBay. They're allowed to get on that page, easily access it, or read all the details around post-sale authentication. And so that's live on eBay.
Oh, is it live right now?
It's live on eBay. Yes, that is correct.
Do you remember the URL off the top of your head?
Not on top of my head, exactly.
That's okay,
because
what we'll do is we'll find it and we'll put it in the transcript for this episode, as we do every week for all URLs, no matter how big or how short, so that sellers can find them easily on our page.
That'd be great. And I mean, for us, like when we do actually marketing to sellers, we're actually talking to sellers. We're speaking to a lot more sellers than we ever have historically. And also seller communication by email, which all have that link to the landing page. So it will be easy to find.
Well, Tareth, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about this exciting new service. This is really a step up on eBay's game. I really like it.
Really excited. Thank you for having me on the episode, and really excited for what's to come here and just ramping up this product across all sellers very soon.
Well, we'll speak to you again as the program ramps up. But for now, have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Tareth Kamdar is the general manager of luxury at eBay. Can you imagine what a great title to have, huh? And we've been talking about the new authentication service that is available right now for sellers of luxury watches on eBay over $2,000 in value. This week's 25 Stories for 25 Years of eBay selectee is Jeanette Gettings from Wolverhampton, UK. Now, facing competition from high street department stores with stronger buying power and a larger customer base, Jeanette opened her Just Because eBay shop to run alongside her brick-and-mortar store. Then eBay came to Wolverhampton to launch the pilot of its retail revival program in partnership with the Wolverhampton City Council. Designed to help small retailers get online, the program encourages sellers to combine the convenience of online with the tangible experience of a shopfront to build reputation and brand loyalty. A top-rated eBay seller, Jeanette credits the program for improving her digital skills. Welcome, Jeanette.
Hello.
What is your user ID on eBay? I know that the store is called Just Because, but what's your user ID?
My user ID is the same. It's Just Because.
And What do you sell?
Gifts and cards for birthdays, weddings, newborns, any occasion.
And when did you open your business in Wolverhampton?
I opened the business in the summer of 2017. So this is my fourth year of trading.
And if I'm correct, I believe the retail revival was just over a year ago or a year and a half ago?
Yeah, it was about 18 months ago now.
Yeah.
We're on the program for a year.
It seems like it's just been yesterday. But of course, pandemics have a way of changing our perception of time.
They do. We've lost 6 months, so like you say, it does seem that it wasn't too far away.
It was the retail revival program that brought you onto eBay?
No, I'd just opened a shop on eBay. I needed to have some sort of online presence to run alongside my shop. And I'd just opened an eBay store when I saw the retail revival advertised. There was a banner at the top of the eBay page advertising retail revival for Wolverhampton. I saw it and thought, oh, I didn't know what it was. So I sort of ignored it until I went home that evening and it was advertised on the local news. And I thought, oh, this must be a bit bigger than I thought it was. Had a look into it and nothing to lose. So I applied to join the program.
I know that we actually back then were able to show up in person. What was the actual event like?
It was really good. There was an awful lot of businesses from all over Wolverhampton. Businesses that were going to be involved in the program, plus the fact of other businesses that we would be interested in, like the post office, the accountants, people to do websites and IT were all met at the football stadium in Wolverhampton, the Molyneux. It was a good event. eBay hosted it, and there was a big introduction of what we were going to do. And then we split up into different groups and went and did 4 or 5 different workshops through the day of how they were going to help us and move our businesses forward.
So eBay shows up and does these events. Was there any follow-up, though?
Yes, we had 2 or 3 months of intensive mentoring from eBay. We'd have somebody from the concierge service would call us up on a weekly basis and go through setting up promoted listings, how to get a better listing, how to move your listings, be seen. We also had, there was another couple of meetings in, I think it was May time, they opened up a pop-up shop in Wolverhampton. They took over a store in the town centre where they had a certain number of businesses showcase their items. And whilst that was there for the month, they also did workshops and had businesses in showing us how to make some of the products that they were selling and all about their businesses.
When the workshop and the mentoring was over, what did you feel that you learned that from both the retail revival event and the mentoring that happened afterwards that helped you with your business?
It was how to be seen and have the online presence and to do the listings. They obviously enabled us to get a better presence on the system itself.
How is your business since then?
Really well. I sort of doubled my shop business with the eBay. And then obviously through the pandemic, it is just, I had to close my business on the 23rd of March, my bricks and mortar shop. But eBay flew to the point that some of the items I hadn't got the cards online and I've put all them on and they've just done really, really well.
Have you been able to open up your shop since then?
Yes, the government gave us notice that we could open up on the 15th of June. So yeah, I've been open since then.
Has business picked up again?
It has. People are starting to come back into the high street. They like the smaller shops because they don't feel so intimidating. And with the new restrictions and things and the distancing, because it's only a small shop, they feel better being in there and they have more control over who's about.
Yeah, I feel the same way as a shopper that going into small shops. What about your eBay business? Has that still stayed strong during the since you've opened your shop?
It's fluctuated. As soon as the main shopping malls and the big stores opened again, it went down. It picked up again. Then it's the school holidays and holiday season over here at the moment. And people have still gone away, whether they've gone abroad or whether they've stayed in the UK. So it's gone a lot quieter online and in the street.
But that's not unusual.
Not this time of year, no.
Are you planning for a busy fall and then holiday shopping season?
I hope so. Yes. I mean, it's scary on buying products in because we don't know what's going to happen. If we're closed down again, then everything will change and hopefully online will take over and everything will be online.
What about your supply sources and supply chains? Were they severely disrupted?
A couple of them closed down whilst and furloughed their staff whilst we were closed down. The card company opened up in the middle, then decided to re-furlough again, but I managed to get some orders in, and they've done quite well. I haven't lost anything from them. A couple of suppliers, some of the items aren't in stock, so they're having problems, but there's nothing drastic. I haven't come across anything. I haven't been able to get anything at all.
One of the points of retail revival was not only to get businesses in small main and high streets around America and the UK, for example, to build an online component of their business, but was also a great way to introduce local business people to each other. Did you make connections with other businesses in Wolverhampton through the retail revival event? And if so, how have those helped your business?
Yes, I have. As usual, it's the same sort of businesses that turn up to any workshops or event. It's been quite lucrative. I've made a couple of really good friends from this experience who, well, before the pandemic, we were going to sort of amalgamate some sort of business together. But that, at the moment, that's on hold because of nobody knows where the thing, where anything is going at the moment. But yeah, it was good fun to meet other businesses and see how they're doing and how they're dealing with things.
You currently are self-employed. You have your own business. But did you start out in life hoping to be an entrepreneur?
Not really. No, I never thought about it. I've always worked for somebody else. I did 12 years when I was in the Royal Air Force. I did another 13, 14 years working for the Ministry of Defence. And when I left that, I carried on being a project manager and working for other people. I'd set up a business with my sister as sort of a bit of a side hustle, and we were going to give up work and do this, selling scarves and jewellery at Christmas fairs, market things. Realised that there was some room to move with this and it would make a really good business and add in other products with it. I saw the shop came up for rent in the right area and thought, this is it, my one chance.
Was it very scary for you to take that step and open up the shop?
Yes, it was, because I wasn't getting paid.
Exactly.
Because I'd been used to a paycheck at the end of every month. To actually turn around to my employer and say, I'm leaving, and then not actually going anywhere else. It was really scary. It was to the point that just before the pandemic, I'd had my business for 3 years, and it was getting to the point that I could actually be comfortable and take some money from the business, that the pandemic hit, that all my money now has had to go back in. So starting again where I was 3 years ago.
The United States government actually provided some assistance to small business owners when most of the nation shut down a few months ago or back in March, in the way of business loans that could help carry people through the worst of the shutdown until they were able to get back and running again. Was there any program like that in the UK? And if so, did it assist you?
Yes, it did. We were given an amount of money, which obviously is a bit scary at first because you think all you can see is just going for the rent and all the bills, because the electric and the water all has to still be paid for, even though you're not using it, the standing charges. So you think you've got quite a bit of money there handed over, and you think, well, it's not going to last that long, because am I just going to hand it straight over to the landlord and to the amenities companies? It's actually worked out that I haven't had to use it all for that. I have gone on to, you know, refreshing the business, opening the business back up again. It's doing okay now, but it's a scary time.
When you first started your business in your what we call bricks and mortar store, what were some of the headwinds that you faced in getting that up and running?
There wasn't really many obstacles in the way. It obviously needed some money, obviously, to get my business going. We saved some of that from my paychecks. And I also had some money from my dad, because he died and left us some money. So that was enabled me to do that. It was finding the suppliers, which was quite good, because I knew what I wanted to stock. I'd already had some stock. It was just expanding on that. I spoke to one person from the card company. The rep came out to see me, who had experience as well as other companies, that types of items that I would need. So it was quite good, actually. She put me in the right direction. The biggest thing is to get people through the door.
Yeah. And how did you manage that?
A lot of it's because they're nosy. Wanted to know what was going on.
Oh, what's happening here? Oh, I think I'll go in and see. Right.
Yeah. And a lot of them have come back. So I've got to be doing something right.
Repeat business is the cornerstone of any successful business. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get quite a lot.
Jeanette, if you had to give advice to a seller who is just starting out, what would be the most important thing in your mind that you'd want to tell them?
Just go for it. Don't think about it. Just do it. It's, like I said, it's hard, and you can sit and ponder and think, well, should I, shouldn't I? Just do it. If you know what you want to sell, just go for it. But make your listings relevant to the product that you're selling.
Well, Jeanette, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. It's been a real pleasure meeting with you and learning about your business there in Wolverhampton.
Thank you. That's really lovely.
Now, we'll put up a link to Jeanette's store in our transcript of this episode, as we do every week, so that you can visit her and perhaps find something to buy. We've been speaking to Jeanette Gettings from Wolverhampton in the UK, and she runs a business both in a store on the high street in Wolverhampton and a store on eBay, and it's called Just Because. You have questions? Well, good for you.
What?
No, wait, that can't be right. Oh, wait a minute. We have answers.
Griff.
I know.
Really?
I know. So we have two questions this week, and yes, I believe we have answers. I think, I'm pretty sure, who knows, we'll find out. So why don't, Rebecca, if you don't mind, you read the first question.
Griff, I think everyone knows that you have answers. So this is from eBay seller Eddie, who writes, could we have a counter next to our store name that indicates the number of items we have sold on eBay? When buyers see that we've sold over 5,000 items and are a top-rated seller, I think it would help show how reputable we are. Just a thought from Eddie Block.
That's such a great suggestion. And I should give you some background. This email was actually longer, and it was the lead up was about how he just received a negative feedback, which he said he was fine with. But what a lot of sellers have done in the past was say, you know, I have 10,000 feedback, for example, but not every buyer leaves a feedback. If you were able to show how many listings or transactions you've had on eBay, that's kind of an interesting way of presenting yourself to buyers.
And you know, Griff, I feel like we've heard from other sellers who would like to be able to track some of these metrics and know, you know, from the percentage of feedback and positive feedback on their sales. I think exposing more data to sellers is a great thing.
Yeah.
I fully support passing this one along to Harry.
I'm glad you do, because I was very excited about it and I'm going to do the same. So, Harry, you're getting another suggestion. It'd be great if we can implement it. I should give our normal disclosure. It's just because we submit something to Harry's team for consideration doesn't necessarily mean it'll be adopted. But who knows? I love this idea. I think it's a really great suggestion.
I totally agree. I think it's good. On to the next question. And this one was called in. Let's listen.
Hi, Griff. My name is Tony, and the name of my eBay store is TS Gifts and More. I really enjoy the podcast. I've been listening to it for maybe 6 months, pretty much catch every episode, and I've been watching them back. So thank you so much for that. I signed up for Seller Hub Pro or Seller Center Pro, however you say it. There is nothing new. Once I signed up, I go to Seller Hub. Everything looks exactly how it had. I cannot find the actual link to go to the pro version of Seller Hub. If I'm missing something, please let me know. You're more than welcome to play this on the podcast, so hopefully other people can learn too. I'm not sure if anyone else has had this issue, but definitely something I'm running into. So if you know where to go to access my Seller Hub Pro, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Thank you.
Oh, there it is.
Griff, I know Seller Hub pretty well, but this one, I've never come across Seller Hub Pro. Is it before my time?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about this not knowing, because just like you said, Seller Manager Pro, I'll give you a little history, is an old tool that predates Seller Hub. In fact, I believe it's been around since the early 2000s.
Wow.
But I got to confess, I was really flummoxed because I was surprised to hear it's still around. I thought we had retired it when we released Seller Hub, but apparently not. So I asked someone on the Seller Tools team what this was about, and they filled me in. For Tony's sake, and for my own sake, and your sake, and the sake of every listener, I got the skinny on this, so let me explain it. So Seller Manager Pro, there used to be two versions, by the way, Selling Manager and Selling Manager Pro. Selling Manager Pro, or in our acronym-inclined world, SMP, is still available as a standalone add-on package by subscription for sellers who subscribe to starter or basic stores. And the package includes benefits that are part of the premium, anchor, and enterprise store subscription. The two features that are added to either a starter or basic store with this Selling Manager Pro subscription are inventory management, which is a whole way of managing inventory that you wouldn't have access to, and automation preferences, like automating feedback, for example. You can quickly spot whether a seller subscribes to Selling Manager Pro by checking the left-hand navigation panel in Seller Hub in your active listings page. So, Tony, go to Seller Hub and go to the active listings page. And on the left-hand side, where there's some links, you should see links for inventory and automation preferences. So it's not that there's a version of Seller Hub that's called Seller Hub Pro. It's just these two features from the old legacy tool called Selling Manager Pro are added to your starter or basic store subscription. I hope that makes sense.
I think it does. So what you're saying is if Tony transfers over to a store subscription, he may actually save some money.
I think he actually has a starter or a basic store.
Okay.
Yeah.
But interesting.
My advice is if you're a regular seller, you should consider a premium store subscription, which includes the two Seller Manager Pro benefits, plus all the listing benefits of a store subscription. And you may actually save money with a premium store as opposed to a starter or basic store when you think about or calculate the free insertion fees you get for fixed price listings with those store levels. But that's up to you to determine whether or not it's worth your while. You may just want to stick with a basic or your starter store. But if you're paying that, can't remember what it is, but I don't think it's a lot of money per month, maybe $5.99 or something, for Selling Manager Pro features of inventory management and automation preferences, you'll find them on the left-hand nav there.
All right, Tony, I hope that was helpful. That was a lot, Griff. Well done.
And don't feel bad that you didn't know, because I didn't know. This took a lot of email back and forth for me to be able to understand from the seller team, because I thought there was no such thing anymore. So it was news to me as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody else out there has a question about something that they can't figure out, or you just want to share some feedback, join us here on eBay for Business by calling us at 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. You can call the hotline any time of day, any day of the week, and leave a question or comment. And if it's appropriate, we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, kind of like me, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And don't forget, as we say every week, your daily podcast to-do list. That means every day you have to do these three things.
First, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news. And that's especially important now because of the seller update that we talked about this episode.
All the details you'll find on the Seller News announcement board. Number two, go visit the eBay community pages and take part. Have some conversations, read up, lurk, maybe post.
And then, of course, you can check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard today and see the links that we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, episode 108, we'll have a seller update follow-up from members of the update team. They'll be answering any of the top questions that were asked during the week of seller update. eBay's Devin Payne will be with us, along with a rep from LendingPoint, to talk about eBay's new eBay Capital program. And we'll meet another seller whose story was selected for the 25 years of eBay series. This time it's seller QC Consigns.
And we'd like to again thank our guests this week from eBay's authentication team, Karath Kumdar, and eBay seller Jeanette Gettings.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.